fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in God's house. How many of you are happy to be in God's presence this morning? If you are excited to be in God's presence, can I hear you shout, Hallelujah! Oh, you don't sound excited this morning. If you are truly excited to be in God's house this morning, you are not tired of hearing God's word. You are not tired of fellowshipping with the saints. Can you shout a thunderous Hallelujah! Amen. So this morning we'll be continuing with the faith. We will continue with the faith series. And this morning I'll be looking at what I term faith appendages. Faith appendages, or we could say the twinnies of faith. You know, twins that twin with the faith. And so you will see in the scriptures there are things that twins with faith. You know, faith doesn't just stand all alone. So you will see faith and love, faith and works, and faith and patience. So I'm going to start with faith and works this morning, then we'll move to faith and patience, and perhaps we would be able to touch on faith and love. So I want us to, I know that we've talked about quite a number of things this morning. So I know we've talked about so many things last week in the previous sessions that we've had about faith, how to expressions of faith, things we need to do to make our faith strong, things that makes the faith weak and all that. So, but this morning we'll be moving a step further. We'll be looking at faith and works. Let's look at James chapter 2, and we're going to start by 14. What did it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works? Can faith save him? So, for example, if a brother or a sister is naked, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, can you give me New King James Version, please? And one of you says to them, the person says he's hungry, he's destitute and all that. And then one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it what profit? You know, I like that expression. Somebody is hungry. Then so, oh, it is well with you, my brother. God bless you. Just, you are filled in the name of Jesus, you know. So that's what he's saying here. Verse 17. Does also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So faith without works is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So one of the ways in which you know that someone has faith is by expression of works. So how I know that you are truly walking in faith is that you can't say you have faith and there are no works to back it up. There are no works projecting out of that faith that you have in your heart. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. So it's not just enough to believe. There must be something that is generated, that is produced as a result of that belief. You do well. Even demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is what? Dead. So there are three things you are going to look at about faith under that particular stuff. So we see that faith actually works together with works, as in it goes along with works. So you can't separate. So you see, you say that when you talk about faith, they have said, I will show you my faith and I will show you the works. So there is something that must be, and when you say you have faith, there must be something that must be an expression of that faith, expressed in certain things that you are doing, in attitudes, or maybe even in tangible actions or attitudes, you know, that you display. So faith works without God. Then faith without works is that, let's continue reading. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? So it was not just only that Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, but that he believing God, one of the reasons why he could, even when God had given him Isaac, that he could trust enough to take Isaac to the altar when the Lord requested that he should sacrifice him, was because he trusted that even if the worst comes to the world, God is able to raise him back from the dead. He had a faith. So it was that action. What propelled him to do that obedience was actually faith. So do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was what? Made perfect. So when there is no work, faith is not perfect. So you must know that. So it's not just enough for you to believe. There must be works associated with that belief. When you believe, there is something it produces. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called what? The friend of God. You see then, that a man is justified by works, and not by what? Faith only. So if it is just only a dream of believing and there are no works, you can't come into justification. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by the works when she received the messengers that and sent them out another way? She believed that these people were going to inherit the promised land. And so the reason why he did that, even though the whole city was, because he believed something, and then because of what she believed, she was able to act in a particular manner. Verse 16, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so what? Faith without works is what? Dead also. So when your faith is not accompanied with works, it is what? Dead. What did I say? When faith is not accompanied with works, it is actually dead. So we said that faith without works is dead. Then justification, like we've read, justification is by faith and works. So you can't. Abraham was made justified because of the works that he carried out, of the things he did. It was not just because he believed God, because God has spoken and he just believed. That was not the reason. He because of the faith he had in God, of the things God had said. If God said, I'm going to be a father of many nations, and the only son that he has given me that looks like the hope of becoming a father of many nations, if he has given me that word and I believe that word, and he's saying that if he has said it, then he must be up to something. So I can actually offer this boy as a sacrifice. At the worst that will come to the worst is that he will raise him back to life. So it was a faith that he had that produced that work. So you see that faith was working together with his works. And by works, faith was what? Made perfect. So living faith. So faith can actually have a dead faith. A faith that is not associated with commensurate work is what? Dead. So living faith is associated with what? Works. Can you tell your neighbor? Say living faith. Living faith. I can't hear you. Say living faith. It's associated with works. So the process is that you receive the promise. There's something God tells you. There's a conviction. There's something God says that you believe. And when God says that thing, it produces a faith in your heart. Like you believe that thing, and then you now begin to act based on that conviction that, oh, this is what God has said, and I believe that he's able to carry it out. So that's always, so without, it is works that makes that process what? Complete. If works is not there, that process is not complete. Amen. That faith is not what? Perfect. So it's an attitude that gears up into a state where we can actually perceive the things God is doing, and then takes actions that are actually what? Commensurate with it. Amen. So faith must produce a commensurate work. Tell your neighbor, say faith must produce a commensurate work. I know, like we said last time I was here, I talked about one of the things that faith does, one of the works that faith produces, also the things that we see. You know, part of the works is our confession. You know, because I believe, therefore I do what? I speak. So those are part of the works that, but beyond confession, there are also activities. I don't want to call it activities. There are also actions or deeds that are tied to faith. Amen. And so I'll be looking at some examples in the Bible, and then we would move forward. So let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3. So, like I said, it's a process. God says something, you see a promise in the word, you lay hold on that promise, you believe, oh, this is what God is saying. You've come to a place of conviction. He produces something in you have faith for that thing. And then because of that faith that you have, you begin to take certain steps or certain actions. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. You know, we already said it, that faith is not presumptuous. That faith is based on what? On what God says. So faith is not just, I'm going to be this. What does God say concerning that thing? That is what said, faith comes by what? Hearing and what? Hearing by the word. So faith is not just, it's not your boju, it's not boldness. It's not just, no, that's not faith. Faith is based on that which the Lord has said, that which the Lord has revealed to you, that which has become rhema in your heart, that which the Lord has spoken, that which the Lord, what is written. You know, it is based on the word. What did I say? And we must never forget that faith is what? Because many of us, sometimes we can be very presumptuous. You know, faith has to be based on the word. So he said, I will stand and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will do, what say to me, and what I will answer when I am what corrected. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and do what? Make it plain on the tablet, that he may run. Who does what? Who reads it? So when the Lord, that vision is what, based on, you know, he said, I will stand on my mouth and see what the Lord will say. So that means there was something the Lord was going to show. So the Lord said, when God now shows that thing, there is something that is expected of you to do. And that is what he began to see. And I said, right, that which I have now shown, based on the watch, based on that which I have said, you should do what? Write it down. Say, write it down. Say, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, and that he may run who reads it. So there is something that now happens as you begin to know. We talked about meditation the last time too. The one of the things that makes our faith strong is that when we have received something for the Lord, God has given us a conviction, maybe a word, you've seen a promise that you are laying hold on. Then one of the ways of making your faith strong is to do what? Is to meditate on that word. Is to make warfare with that word. So it's not saying that when you make it plain on the tablet and it is clear, one, as you read it, one of the things he must do to you is to do what? Run. Say run. No, that run is not an act, it's not a passive thing. That is a walk. Say that is a walk. So as the Lord reveals those things, as you write it down, as it makes it plain, it is in the place of meditating. Meditating is second level of hearing, of meditating, you know, of confessing, of staying on that word. There's something he produces in you. He's supposed to make you run. He's supposed to produce what? An action. Say an action. So he said, you should. So one of the things, and I'm going to be very practical this morning. So, you know, because we're talking about faith, we're going to the basics of faith. So if, let's say God has given you, you've prayed about something, or maybe you're believing God for something, and God has given you a clear word. It's not just enough for you to just add that thing in your mind. You really need to document it. Say document it. You know, some people don't like documenting things. You just sit down, you receive. Even when you come for meeting, you just, some, well, first, we have gone past that level in our church. Can you give yourself a clap? You have gone past that. I don't see how many people come to church, you have a pen to write. You know, it is part of it. When God lays certain things, I know, but you go beyond, it's still the same attitude to the message too. So some of the things you write down are convictions, are words that hit you. So you document it, because if you don't document it, you leave this place, we might not be able to capture those things as the thing actually hits you, as at that time you were in God's presence. So the same thing also, God has said something. Maybe God has said something concerning your business, concerning your academics, concerning your home, concerning all the, you document it. What did I say? You should have a place where you document things that God has spoken to you. You should have a book that says documentation on so day. You are not too big for that. I never say you're not too big for that. Even Moses, when he was receiving the Ten Commandments, they said you should write it what? On a tablet. If he did not write it on a tablet, he would have forgotten. Yes. So if a old Moses can be told to write down those commandments that you do, who are you that you not want to write down the things God tells you? So that's what it means. What had God said concerning your business? I know it's all fine. You just say, no, write it down. As time goes by, as you meditate, as you pray, there are other layers of truth that God will bring concerning that thing. As God brings those layers to you, write it down. And so there are times that you go back to those things that God has told you, and you go back to it, you will be shocked. You know, sometimes even when doubt wants to finish you, and then you just check those things and say, so God said this. God said this. God said that. I know one of the things he does to your heart, he stirs up faith back in your heart. Or maybe prophecies. Maybe you are giving prophecies and sometimes maybe you are not beginning to doubt. You need to get those kind of prophecies and store them somewhere. And there are times, from time to time, you go back and listen. You know those bad day prayers that people do for you sometimes? Maybe they prayed for you in January. And you know, when they gave you the word, powerful word, you are excited. By the time it's April, your heart is already failing you. Go and take, that is part of documentation. You go back to those things and go on and go over those words. You know, as you read it, you know what will happen? Your strength, your legs will receive strength. Not just to walk, but to do what? Run. So those are some of the works that we need to attach to faith. So I understand there's a place of faith that is spontaneous. You speak, you get it straight. But there are times that faith takes a process. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So you write it down. You make it plain. What has God said concerning your children? You write it down. So even when they are misbehaving, living contrary to that, you go back and go and remind yourself that this is what God has said concerning this child. And you now make warfare. So when Paul was telling, was it Timothy that he should make warfare with the prophecies? So you don't feel that they had those things down. How would they make warfare with the prophecy if they were not documented or recorded? Undocumented prophecies. Undocumented encounters with God. Undocumented commandments that God has given us. He said you should write it down. Make it plain. So that he that reads can do what? Run with it. So you must write. And it's not just only write. You must do what? Read. Say read. So you must go back to it. There are times that you have to visit those things. So maybe God has given you something concerning your business, and then the business is living, is wants to be doing contrary to what you have written down. You go back, you go and read it again. This is what God has said. And you speak those words, you know, again, you know, to that thing, to whatever that thing that you are using faith for. Amen. So we read it. You run. Then the next, let's continue. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. So there are times that things that God has promised, things that God has spoken concerning us, there are some of them that are time bound, you know, but at the end, it will do what? Speak, and it will not what? Lie. Though it tarries, what should you do? Wait for it. Tell your neighbor, say, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not what? Tarry. So write the vision, document the vision, read it, run with it, and do what? Wait for it. Can we say it together? Write the vision, read it, run with it, and what? Wait for it. So, the words that God speaks to us, things that we believe God for, must produce an attitude in us, you know? That's just something it must produce something that you can run with. Something, you know, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water and he said, bid me come, and Lord said, come. You know, it was not presumptuous. You know, you cannot say, Jesus walked on the water. Let me also walk. He waited. He received, he said, bid me come. He said, come. That was the word. And he walked on that word. Imagine God telling him to come. And he did not take that leg, put his leg. Will he be able to walk on the water? That's how some of us we do. That is faith without works. The works is moving at the expression of the word. So that word that the Lord spoke to Peter had a work attached to it. And what was that work? It was to walk on that water. So we say, oh, I have received the word. The Lord said, come. Oh, I received the word. The Lord said, come. And doesn't make a fit. Sincerely, you will never walk on that water. It will just stay in the realm of revelation. That is a lazy soul. You are still going to get there. That will be faith. That will be a dead faith. But no, a living faith is a faith that moves in response to the word that has been spoken. Amen. So there are things. So for several issues of life, you see there's a way God, even though we've talked about God bringing us from the invisible to the visible. But you see, between that process that we have faith, you know, faith makes us see the visible, even in the invisible. Things are not visible, but yeah, you can still say, oh, God is going to do this. But you see, in that process, there is a work that is attached to it. There are things that God are also your own responsibility that God expects you to do with the word that has been given. Let's look at, for example, Isaiah chapter 54. So let's, for example, barrenness. I know that barrenness, I don't want you to look at it as someone that has not given birth. It is part of it. But maybe in an area of your life, you're not fruitful in a particular area of your life. It's not blossoming like it ought to. It's not being fruitful. It can be physical. It can be spiritual. It can be whatever. I know, like I said, one thing that happens to people that are barren, what is it? Sorrow. That is the natural expression. That is the natural work that is associated with what? Barrenness. They are sorrowful, they are sad, they worry, they are hopeless. You know, that's the natural cause. But now begin to see God. Now beginning to address barrenness. Seeing it from the perspective of God. You can, let's say, sing, O barren. That is not a concord, according to English people, Abi. That is not a concord, you know. There is no agreement that why should someone barren be singing? But you know, when you begin to walk by faith, God begins to give you a different walk. What did I say? So the walk for barrenness is to do what? Sing. Say, sing, O barren, you who have not born. Say, break forth into what? Singing. And do what? Cry aloud. This cry aloud, I call it prayers. So, because I know why, not when we're reading Philippians 4 the other day, using Message translation, one of the things that happens to people that are barren, they worry a lot. They are concerned, it brings a lot of pressure to them. They tend to worry. So, and you know, like we read in that Philippians, she said you should convert your worry into what? Into prayers. So she said you should sing and do what? Cry aloud. That cry aloud is turning all the mornings into what? Prayers. You who have not labored with child, for more, so this is the end product, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says what? The Lord. So that's the word. So that's the word. The word is that you're going to come into fruitfulness. However, there has to be a commensurate walk with that word. And what is the word? Is to sing. Break forth into singing. And do what? Cry aloud. And verse 1, it doesn't stop in that place. And look at verse 2. Now said what? Enlarge the place of your tent. You know, a barren woman has just only one room. You know, because she's only the one and her husband. So now he's telling that barren woman. Said, no, don't just only sing and cry aloud. Say, move further. Do what? Enlarge the place of your, in preparation for the fruitfulness. Create more space. He said, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. He said, do not spare. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen what? Your stakes. In preparation to accommodate what? The fruitfulness. Because when the babies now start coming, when the fruit starts coming, where do you want to put them? Because they will surely come. And so what does that translate to? So when God says, so for example, maybe in your business, God has given you a word, you're going to be a global business, you already have a word, and then you are still in that small place. I said, you can't even see it. You know, it doesn't look visible. Everything God has said looks invisible. God is saying that in the process, before that thing comes into physical manifestation, you need to start building structures. Hallelujah. You need to start knowing, if today somebody gives me if somebody gives me 10 million naira for this my business, what am I going to use it for? Do you know how to manage a business? Do you know how to, you know, when you are managing one person, it's different when you are managing 50 people. Do you have management skills? So it is in that process that you begin to learn those things. Hallelujah. You begin to learn those things that would help you in the days when the fruitfulness comes. So you begin to invest, I'm using business people now, you begin to go for trainings. Yeah. You know, don't say, I continue there. No, in anticipation, because you know that it will surely come. So those are the things, you begin to enlarge your tent, you begin to widen your horizon. You begin to, some associations that, you know, that there are people, you begin to intentionally, you know, join some associations. And I said, we will have to do that, join one. You know, you intentionally join them, you know, because you are building your network, because you will need it. If you don't prepare for that day, when the fruitfulness comes, you will waste the fruitfulness. You won't have bands to hold the fruitfulness. And that faith will just be dead. That will be a dead faith. A faith that cannot even hold the things that God brings. So it applies to different areas of our lives. So even though now it might not have been the things, but you know that this is what God has spoken. So you are a mother, you are waiting for the fruit of the womb. It's not the day you get pregnant that you start knowing how to train a child. It's not that day that you have to know what happens to a woman in first trimester. It's not that day. You should prepare yourself. I know the children are going to come. When they come, I don't want to be a novice. I don't be at that time that they will still be getting somebody after you've waited for 10 years. They now give back. They're now still sending somebody to come and be teaching you how to do basic. You should have learned those things in your waiting times. Those are the things you do in your waiting times, preparing for the harvest. So in our waiting times, you are supposed to prepare for what? The harvest. We shouldn't just be singing, to be sitting down there and just fold our hands. You are believing God for a spouse. It is not the day when the brother comes that you now begin to learn how to be accommodating. That's why we're not going to be saying, please come and teach me how to cook different stuff. Go and train yourself. How do they make home? Because a married woman should be a homemaker. It is not when you get, you know, if you have waited for 10 years, by the time you start, you should not be starting the way people that did not wait are starting. You should be starting on an higher pedestal. You should be prepared. When the brother comes, you don't need to do courtship of 2.5 years, like people that don't already know their left or right. Like someone, you are already 40. Somebody is 26. Where shall your boyfriend, I be fiancé. You are already 40. If you have prepared well, in 6-1 year, you should be able to get married. Yes, sincerely, if you are prepared, you shouldn't be telling you that you're still wait. There are still things to work in you. If you do that, you did not spend your waiting time well. You should not be the kind of people that when you get married, you will be coming to come and be settling fights. You have not spent your waiting time well. You may pacify the peace.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kafasana Movrenia. Thank you. Messi Aliabarakana Mande Jekapara Dabast. Emolo Bageta Lide Jujofari Claproni and the Parklanista Pona Venania. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bring sight. I bring sight. I bring wisdom. I bring sight. I bring wisdom. I bring sight. Halana Jujivarata Profrasteponi Alane. I bring wisdom to many this morning. I bring sight to many this morning. I bring wisdom. I bring sight to you. I bring sight to you to know how to maximize the face you are in. I give sight to you to begin to engage what you are supposed to do in the face that you are in. Amaustabane alakashtagane. And the polominini lahande kachachore bonia. Arise and begin to walk. Arise and begin to invest. Arise and begin to build yourself against the times to come. As the times to come. Alamoni aleveste kamun on the times to come. Don't allow the enemy to distract you. Don't allow worries to steal your time. Haliporo verata lishta kanane. Be focused. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare for the time of war in the time of peace. Prepare now. Prepare now. Prepare now because there's a lot of responsibility ahead of you. Ahead of you. Ahead of you. So I give you time. Do not waste your time. Do not waste your time. Do not waste your time. Halamande klaproshtapane ane da pastagane. Do not waste your time. Do not enter that phase unprepared. Do not enter that time unprepared. Do not enter that season unprepared. Do not enter that season unprepared. Prepare now. Prepare now. Akamashte vanantea. I speak to you also. Hamoshte lalia. Which a phase of harvest have caught you unaware. It has caught you unaware. And you are struggling. And you are struggling. Amante sise proclamane. I bring grace to you. I bring grace to you. I bring grace to you. Sit up and prepare. Sit up and begin to walk. Sit up and begin to work. Go back to your foundation. Go back to your foundation. Begin to work. Begin to work. Begin to work. Begin to work. Because higher than what is ahead, higher than what you are going through is still ahead of you. I'm still holding a lot of increase not to come to you yet. I allow you to experience a little so that you can know how unprepared you are. So prepare now. Prepare now, because yet are still coming. A lot are still coming. They should not meet you unprepared, because they will overwhelm you, and the enemy will take advantage of that. See the Lord.
Amen. No, like that was said, don't waste your waiting time. When you can actually waste your waiting time. The waiting period, when you are waiting and waiting on God for that which the Lord has spoken to come into, for that appointed time, where that word will be fulfilled, is a time of preparation. So if, for example, you don't yet have a job and you have all the time, that is not for the time for you to not be waking up at 11 a.m. and say, I have time. Wake up in the morning. I remember that when I was growing up in my church, they would say that if you don't have a job, wake up in the morning. Yes, the time everybody, the other person wakes up, wake up, have your bath, dress. You know that people that don't have job, the way they used to dress, some of them, they do not bath from morning until evening. That is not a good mindset. I remember they said, if you don't have a job, remember that a pastor or a reverend will tell you, wake up in the morning, have your bath, do as if you are going to work, sit down on the table. If it is Bible you want to read, read Bible, make brief is a book you want to read. Say with that, God knows that you are serious. Yeah, so it's not a time to just like, oh, wait, that's your rot. I'm not going anywhere. When that job comes, you will have problem in the first 6 months because your system will not be used to a structured environment. Yeah. And you won't function well. So it's a time. And you have all the time. You can be a time when you don't have a job that you cannot even hear a message again. You know, when you have time, like, but not have that time. So train yourself to wake up early, to pray, to do things. And that is not a time to just be faffing. That's a time to see what can I add to myself. Even though I don't yet have a job, how many free trainings can I take online? Can I improve my grammar? Can I improve this? Can I learn something that we don't have to pay for online? Several things on YouTube that you can learn online. How to edit. So you don't just say, I don't have, there's no time. There's nothing to do. And then you just sleep. I have time to sleep. You stretch leg. I just come from it. I'm waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is not laziness. It is not laziness. You need to be productive in the times of doing what? Of waiting. You are waiting. You don't yet have a child. Have you carried people's children? Carry other people's children. Love the children. Serve the children. I say, one day I just want to even go and spend one Sunday in the children's church and see how they handle children. What you are doing is that you are preparing yourself for when they will come. Because surely they will come. I remember then those times when Gina was waiting, I intentionally made her, she was the one that used to sing in every name. I would tell her to go and sing. When they are looking for her, she said, Gillian, let her go and sing. And she will sing. She will go there. She will sing. You know, she has big voice. She will sing. She will shake her body. She will do everything. You know, intentionally. You know, you are waiting for the child. You want the child to be sorrowful. Help other people. Carry their babies. All those small girls. Love them. Be buying biscuits for them. Buying sweets for them. And then when they see you, let them come and be hugging you. Your children will come. No, that you just be looking and say, hey, when will my own come here? This one, when did this one marry? Don't it be alone you? And we have been on this thing for 3 years. People hungry. So you see people, somebody is pregnant. What do you crave for? What is your craving? And you get that craving. And you go and prepare that. Remember, I'll tell Gillian, when somebody is saying, I'll tell Gillian and Debbie, I'll tell them, go and cook for this person. Go and ask what that person wants. Go and cook for that person. You have to, what is your craving? What are you craving for? Kilo bu inje. Let me tell mommy, you know me only taste. Keep the fair and you prepare it and you give it to that person. That's how to prepare. You are sowing seeds not only for yourself and even for the future. Hallelujah. It's not the time to be sorrowful and be saying, God, when will my own come? It's because it will surely come. God has already given you a word that your baby is going to come. So you prepare, you learn. You see when you are doing it, how do you carry? This baby is coming. When baby, how do you do this thing? You learn those things in preparation. Those things should not, when you get to your turn, they shouldn't catch you unawares. Yeah. And you don't know your left and your right. Say, hey, and your mom was in the pampas. And they're just teaching you how to do power. When you have waited for a child for almost 5 years. No, we need to lay you down and give you koboko. During your waiting period, you and your pastor say, everybody is getting married. Your pastor say, go and wait. Don't be angry with your pastor. That's not the time to be angry with your pastor. That's the time for you to invest in yourself. Amen. And say, what do I need to be a good wife? Yeah. What do I need to be a good husband? Yeah. It's not the time you should put in your pastor and say, pastor would like me. No, you are being foolish. Yeah. They say you should wait. That is the time you should invest in yourself. And say, okay, they said I should wait. And I am waiting. What do I need? What can I do to be a good helper when I marry? What can I do to be a loving husband when I have it? Let me start investing. Let me use this time to invest in those. So that it should not be that I'll be learning on the job. So by the time you enter, you've entered prepared, armed. So waiting period is not a time to be hungry, to be sad. It is an advantage. Don't ever say it is an advantage. It's an advantage. It's an advantage. You should see it as an advantage. That by the time you get into the real harvest, you are well prepared. So enlarge, prepare for the harvest. You know, I used to say, as we had, even as a church, that we're ready for the harvest. If they had 500 people to us today in City Gate Church, there would be issues. Who is going to pastor them? Some of you are even angry that we don't call you, we don't talk to you. I think money. When we were 20, 30, it was easy. I mean, if you're not happy, I will see you because you are plenty. But now we are plenty. So if we have 500 people too, we need people that will pastor them. Mature people that will pastor them. Because pastor cannot pastor all of them. The people in church are supposed to be equipped to do the work of what? Ministry. So even us, if we pray, pray for Abel, God had more to us. We must pray the prayer Abel. God must send us laborers.
Yes. Yes.
Or else if the harvest come, we will lose the harvest. Yes. We might be no learning. Anyone pray, I want to visit some, because there's nobody to do it. So the same thing also. That's why sometimes God doesn't give us certain things, because he knows that we are not prepared. So God will rather let you go through the waiting period and prepare you for that thing. God wants to give you a special child that has something that he's going to do. And God knows that you are weak-hearted, but you cannot even raise the child well. Your conscience is not a strong conscience. God will delay you until a time where your heart is strong, because God is not thinking about you. He's thinking about the child he wants to commit into your hands. So we must not waste our waiting period. Say, don't waste your waiting period. I said, don't be hopelessly idle. No, no, people don't want to work with the way these things are. They look at each other. Ah, in City Gate Church, sisters, the ratio of sisters to brothers is 90-10. They may ban me. And then they're just hopelessly idle. Come on, baby, so come back. There's no husband there. And they're just hopelessly idle. You are not investing in yourself. You are not. I tell people, doing waiting period, to invest. I tell people, if you are waiting for a child, maybe let's say your child has not come. Not just only spiritual, even career-wise. Improve yourself. Go for trainings. Take more certificates. When that child now comes, remember that we are starting late. What are better than one university when she over retirement to from money school? So it's better that you know, it's true. No, it's true. It's better you do that certain things that you cannot do at certain age. So if the children have not come, it's only a child to now be hopelessly idle. Do things. What are the things I can do? Get those things that you can get. Invest in yourself spiritually. Invest in your career. And when the child comes, Jack comes, meets you at a very good state. And then you have resources to even take care of the child. Yeah. Instead of you to be hopelessly idle, say, God, where? Amen.
Amen.
So don't tell anybody, so don't be hopelessly idle. The second thing as works, apart from breaking those preparation, is moving with the right company. Say, moving with the right company. So men that I call them faith booster relationships. So God has given you a word. Maybe there's something you are believing God for. Look for people that are like-minded. That we just like Mary and Elizabeth. You know, Lord, I like that drama that we did during Carol. You know, when all the, by the time she went to Elizabeth, Mary's heart was what? Strengthened. So that the same thing also, there's something you are believing God. Look for people that are like-minded in that area. Stir up each other's faith together. Stir up one another's faith. You know, that's, Mary arose those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe lived in her womb, and Elizabeth was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's something that happens when you are bearing the same thing, and then you know there's, it said, iron sharpeneth what? Iron. So you look for people that will cause the seeds of faith in your heart, that will cause them to leap. Don't go to people that will bust your faith, that are faith leakers. So one of the things that faith with works will do is to make you locate people that would help boost your faith, that would help stir up your faith, and you'll be in the company of such people. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. We read from verse 23 to 31. Things that will make the seed in you to thrive. And being let go, the story of the disciples, they were preaching, they beat them and all that. They arrested them, but later they let them go. And being let go, they went to their own what? Companions. So you should have companions of faith.
Amen.
What did I say? They went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they reported, they also not say, "Ah, oh, there, Gagon, eh? And you are serving God." They are not companions of misery. M-I-S-E-R-Y. So when they heard that, what did they do? They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, can you see, they got to see in their, in that kind, after after experiencing such kind of that kind of situation, terrible situation. See what they did. When they went back to their community, they say, how dare God, we are serving God. This God, we don't even know what is happening. No, this word is not working. No, that was not what they said. Said they, all of them, they lift their voice together. Lord, you are God. Who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. They began to praise God. Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the heart took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. These are people that only word. This is Psalms that they began to rattle out. For truly against the only servant Jesus, whom you anointed, but Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Verse to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threat and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may do what? Speak your word. Because they beat them and told them that they must not preach the word again. So they went back to their company. I'm sure they were a bit of a little affair. But when they went back to their company, they lifted up their voice. They stirred them up and said, by stretching out your hands to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your only servant, what? Jesus. And when they had done what? Prayed. Where they were assembled. Where they were assembled together was what? Shaken. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. So that company was a company of faith boosters. Say faith boosters. So one of the things that will happen, one of our works, one of the things that we must do has we want our faith to get stirred up. We must have companies of people that are stirring up your faith. People that are of like-minded, that you can pray together. You want to get married. You have other people that want to get married. Pray together. And encourage one another. There is no money. Oh, you want to marry. Rice has gone from Kinikon. You pray and you believe God for supernatural supply.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You know, I said, I don't understand. You people, why you people are doing, maybe your God, maybe you don't have things that are chasing you. Say people want to get married and they don't pray. I think they take prayer casually. So they have so many things to pray about. So not just only about even the events, but even about your home. You should spend time praying. Not just only going to Kilimanjaro and going and be eating. It's true now, you should pray. And at least you should go and pray in the brother's house or in the sister's house. So you go to open place like a botanical garden. When the pastor will pray, that's why don't pray. Something was shelling. Go to botanical garden. Go and pray. Go and spend hours. Go and spend 7 hours, 8 hours praying. Those things are not outdated. Say it is not outdated. Go and pray. Go together. So pray. Get your company. Get people together that you want to go. Get, carry yourself to that. Go there and go and pray. Go and pray concerning your home. That your home will be a platform through which, if you don't know any prayer point, I'm giving you one prayer point. Pray that your home will be a platform through which God's purpose will be advanced in the earth. Amen. Go and pray in tongues for 7 hours on that. Yes. It's true. You should spend time praying. So they went back to their company and they prayed. Praying that which God has spoken concerning your home will find expression. Yeah. That all the things you've been hearing, all the mommy Adebola that you have been hearing, all the mommy Adebola you have been hearing, that you say, yes, yes, that when you get to the home, that you'll be able to walk in them. Yeah. But don't you know that you need grace to walk in those things? Yeah. You just think, you just say that, I must be mommy Adebola, I must be mommy Ali. Then you just get there, just be loving your husband like that. Not be like that, oh. So you go and pray all those things you have heard. You take time and you pray those things. And don't just be casual and just think, and don't just be presumptuous. May God deliver us from the sin of presumptuousness. So you should look for your own company. You are business people. All of you that are doing fashion design. I know I used to tell them, I'm looking forward to them people in church that they will have big fashion line. That they will have somebody, what the person is doing is Ashebi, House of Kinikan Fashion. And in that House of Kinikan Fashion is the conglomerate of different fashion line. Somebody is doing Ashebi, somebody is doing, and is a, no, I used to see that vision, big, big wheels, long, different machines, different section. Somebody is manning this. You know, people that you should come, you should pray, you should encourage one another. You should say, don't just be one corner. Yeah, challenge. Stay in one. What in one? I don't want to break through this business. No! You walk by faith, you believe God, you speak. This is what God has spoken concerning my business. You share your own. You encourage one another. And you believe God and you pray. And you edify one another. I know you want to say, how is it going? Is it, he's still not, don't worry, God will do it. God has spoken it. Hold on to the word and you encourage one another.
Thank you.
That is living faith. Say living faith.
Living
faith. That's living faith. Then, so we should have, you should pray. You should share ideas, pray about challenges. And then not only that, check out testimonies in the Bible related to your issue. Whatever you are going to check the scriptures, look at it. Which Bible character has similar things? No, sometimes people come to harass me and say, this, what the righteous say? Oh, they hand in. Your infirmities are too much. You know who you are used to look at? I look at Peter. It was as if Peter can never make it. I would say, Peter, I used to like, I say, God, Peter made it and it was your grace. You prayed for him. Father, you can do it for me. So every time when I feel brown, maybe pregnant, infirmities, hey, with all these infirmities, are you sure this thing? I just like, Peter, a bad girl. They called him a reed, easily shaken. Say, God, I'm just like this. But reed, Peter made it. He became a rock. I know you have not changed. You can still do it. And you will do it in me. So you look for characters that match whatever situation or circumstances you are going through, and you use their life. See, those things are written word for word, our examples. So there will always be a situation in the Bible where you can always get inspiration that actually matches the things, circumstances, or situations that you are going through. If you are not lazy. So the next one is faith and patience. Say faith and patience. So we've said that in the fulfillment of God's promise, there is an appointed time. Let's look for it again. Let's read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 again. It said, wait for it. Say, for the vision is set for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, do what? Wait for it. Because it will do what? Surely come. It will not tarry. So not that faith process. So one of the things that, so there's actually a process in which God takes us through. There's a time appointed for those things God has said to come to pass, to come into visibility, tangibly expression. But beyond those things, say beyond those things, God is particular about our salvation. Say salvation. So I believe that waiting time is actually a process of salvation. It's not just about the end product. It's about the processes that God takes you through. The things that God makes you learn during that waiting period. During that waiting, most times there are benefits. Not even most times. There are benefits usually outweighs the outcome. What did I say? So you are waiting for something. I'm waiting for a job. I'm waiting for a spouse. And then God takes you through a waiting process. The benefit of that process, where that thing has not found, especially you are going through so many ups and downs, trials, the things God wants to work in you during that period, as far as God is concerned, is more important than even that end product. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to what?
Save.
So at the end of believing, whatever to me, I believe that at the end of every believing, there is something that is very important, and that is salvation. Say salvation. So if you just say, I'm believing God for something and I'm waiting on God. Yes, fine. God will bring that thing. But you see, in that process of waiting, there are many things that God wants to teach you. There are many things that God wants to use that situation to train your soul. And as far as God is concerned, that is even more important than that end product. Because that end product will still surely come to pass. Amen. Let's also look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes! What are these things? Things that do what? Accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner. So you see Paul talking to the boy. Paul said, even for God is not what? Unjust to forget what? Your work. So maybe you have been working in faith, you even have works to show for it, and it's like those things that you are believing God for has not manifested physically. That waiting period, there's something called faith. It takes faith and patience to inherit the promise. And patience is very important as far as God is concerned. It is more important than the end process. For God is not just to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until what? The end. Verse 12. That you do not become what? Oh, I can't hear you. You do not become what? So during waiting period is not a time to be hopelessly idle. It's not a time to be hopelessly sluggish. It's not a time to be hopelessly slothful. So that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through what? Faith and what? Patience. Inherit what? The promises. So it takes faith. So even when we have faith, you have what? You don't mention that work. Say that God did not forget your labor of work. You have works. There are times that you will still have to wait for the appointed time. For those promises to do what? Find expression. And during that waiting period, there's a tendency for the soul to be weary. And so he said here that you should not become sluggish, but rather imitate those who through faith and patience. Take me to James chapter 1. And you will see that patience to God is of more importance. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy. As in, reckon it as a joyful experience. When you fall into various what? Trials. Knowing that what? The testing of your faith. So, waiting period is a time where they will also test your faith. Amen. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. And he says, it's not just only produce patience. Let patience have what? Is perfect work. So, you know, we talk about faith and work. So, there is even a work attached to patience. When they say wait. There is a work patience want to rot in your soul. But let patience have his perfect work. That you may be what? Perfect. And what? Complete. Doing what? Lacking nothing. So it's not just lacking that thing that you are waiting for. But lacking what? Nothing. You know, talk about a faith. Our faith is perfected. There is a work that perfects our faith. So there is a work of patience that also brings us into perfection. That deals with things in our soul beyond the things you are believing God for. And you know, and that thing works out salvation. Amen. So is there someone that will go, oh, maybe God, oh, I've been praying for breakthrough, for money in my family. You see, I used to pray for people, that people should have. But sometimes even me, I told myself, this person, hey, breakthrough, God, give this person breakthrough. Let this person have breakthrough. But later, when I now saw some people, even me, I had to change my prayer because God, am I being looking more disturbing you? Because the vanity in that person's soul, when I saw it, I said, God must not bless this kind of soul with money. Papa, Taba bless your vanity, Mama be money. Vanity, we just be producing. Because those souls are vain. So in that kind of process, when God makes you to wait, one of the things they will first of all deal with is vanity. And your idols, the things, the tastes, the things I like, the kind of clothes you like, the kind of path you like, the way you want your home to be. You know, God can deal with you on those things. That you even have those money. God will say, no, I don't want you to do it that way. You have the money to rent a duplex, and God says, no, two bedroom is okay for you for now. And you love it. And you say, the extra money that you have, go and get other family. That brother that's an evangelist, go and give him that money. Pay for his house rents.
Thank you.
And you say, oh, for my level, where I walk, where we stay, where all our people stay, is duplex. And it's not duplex where they use louvers. So, you know, that our former house is duplex with louvers. Even this one is old. Duplex. Oh. Duplex, say, where you enter like this, the chandelier will be singing for you. duplex yatos, duplex yatos, duplex yatos, duplex. But all is for what to sleep and to wake up. Konikovil ori eni. So I'm saying, okay, so you can have vanity in yourself. You say, this is the kind of life, and I cannot live beyond that. The reason why you're not doing it is because of what is your way. But God wants to train your soul in a place that you, even in the midst of plenty, you know, when we don't have much, we know how to abase. Abase money. When you don't have much, you know how to do concussion and eat it, and you'll be satisfied. But you know, the one that is difficult to manage most is when you have plenty. Go and look at even the kings. When did David have plenty? When did David have trouble? When he was at peace? When he was at war? Surely you'll be in a kaka. It was when he was at peace. That was when he was strolling on his corridor. Fine. Salomon Dadanye. In the midst of plenty. So there are times that God will intentionally take us to processes of denial just to trim your tastes, just to trim the things you like. Just to trim it down so that you can be useful for God. Because when you have, let me be, sure you want to hear the truth. Yes. When you have plenty of things, you cannot be useful for God. Because your tastes will not allow you to be useful. You can do for God though, but you will not be useful. You can do, but not be useful. You are still doing it. In fact, you can give $1 million, but as far as the capacity God has given you, might be more than that. So that you just have to limit yourself. That you can afford to buy 5 cars. We have to say, no, I only need 2. The remaining 3, let me buy it. Let me use the money to do mission. You know, people don't think that way. People will first think about their service. Sometimes they say, hey, in the lower shekel, let's now use it for God. And you feel you have done well. So sometimes God takes us through denial. God will take you through denial. You will suffer. You will suffer not because of anything. God just wants to deal with yourself, make you see that you can live, that all those things do not matter. Things now becomes nothing. All the designer, fine house, this is the color I want in my house, this is the color I want in my kitchen. You know some people, kitchen is the outdoor. This is how I mind my kitchen. I want my kitchen to be like this. Because God knows that God will deal with those things. Because you know that if you want your kitchen, oh my look, but I'm better my dark kitchen room. It's the truth. They will skip you. Maybe I've been dreaming from the way you came. When I grow up, I want orange kitchen. I want orange kitchen. Everything will be orange. My freezer, everything will be orange. There's a way you have always dreamed. You've always, as a young girl, you've had those fairy tales. Fairy tale kitchen, my kitchen. If you have that kind of mindset, they now bring brethren to your house. So what if I fairy take it? Oh, lame one than only. And you will spot, and maybe those lives, God are bringing those lives because God wants those lives to be made. So God will look and say, this taste of orange kitchen. I can't go down. I can't go to my own tea, color orange, man. So they now take you through situations like that. Even when you want to marry, maybe it's one room you used to. So it's not self-contained though. One room that you have to share with plenty neighbor. You don't know. God is a man of war. What is God is not looking at you. God is looking at things he wants to do. He's looking at lives that are tied to you. That this your orange dream will not allow to be fulfilled. So God will now look and say, okay, how are we going to remove this seed of orange dream that Satan has sowed into this girl's soul since age 10? And then they will now take you through processes. They will now deny you. They will now deny you. So you have even forgotten that you had orange dream. By the time you come out, you will even know the difference between orange and yellow. So I think God has dealt with your soul, and then you now, maybe God has now expanded you, you know. I now have money, I now have a kitchen. You won't even be thinking of it. Even if now God doesn't even permit you, because some of you figure God is a wicked God. Why is he a wicked God? Maybe God doesn't even permit you to do the orange kitchen. When you do it and brethren spoil it, oh, if you be no lame one, oh, you need pack your load today. You spoil my orange kitchen like this? No way. Because God would have dealt with those idols. They will not be, they won't mean anything to you anymore. So God takes us through some of those processes just to deal with those. Now, some of us, the reason why you are still being denied that you have not seen sister or maybe brother is because of your taste. There's a kind of sister you want. There's a way you want her yet. You don't want the sister that uses lipstick like paint. You know, you want it to be set. You don't want lipstick if you afford that quality. You know? Yeah. To set. That when you a girl to take home to mama, that's what that's always been your dream. My dream girl. You have been, oh, my dream guy. Tall, dark. And you know, all of you have all those fantasies. They're going to say, hey, the seed you have in you, the person this is compatible with is a short brother. He's short. As in, oh, she's short, oh, short gun. Say, oh, it's God wicked. God give me a thought. God can give you. Sometimes God can. But sometimes too, Alessa, might be that the place where destiny is. If it's all bossy, if it's all so God will say, how are we going to do this thing now? And I know that if they bring that short brother to you now, or more, Kishenu Nikolomafu. No, God is not saying anything in that area. No. I don't see anything. I have prayed about it and I'm not convinced. I know when you say you pray, Pastor myself, conviction. Well, I need conviction. No, Holy Spirit is not speaking to me about it. So then that's okay, no problem. It's okay, no problem. 1 year. 2 years, 3 years, all your friends, Oti Shashai, Oti She Best Lady, Oti Dia Meritus Best Lady. All your friends, you don't best all your friend. You don't go for naming tired. They don't burn one, they don't burn two, they don't burn three. All of them gonna call you auntie, when you come to the house. When they now say, short to red. God, could you see Giga don't artin Giga sort no like you? You say, No problem. Bring the shot like that. I'll be sorting it out. Oh my God. So sometimes God works that way. And sometimes God can actually give you. God is not wicked. Sometimes God, if it is available, why not? God can give you. If it is available, no, it's available. Maybe God has seen the seed and said, oh, this seed, you have a seed in you that you can nurture. And but to available around there to ga ni kini ye. I want to there by no, I want sort no where wa. So God takes us through certain situations, you know, and circumstances at times, just to deal with things in our soul. Pastor Fred.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Overanata sikla pronine majigi vera la basa saproni vede barononi ale caponi. Taste board of the wicked. Taste board of the wicked. Taste board of the wicked. You have taste board of the wicked one. You have the taste board of my enemy.
You have the taste board of my enemy. In you are the things of my enemy. I can see the things of my enemy. But it's my desire that you will be part of what I'm doing in your days. But it's my desire that you will be part of what I'm doing in your generation. But you have the taste board of my enemy. I will not allow you. I will not allow you. I will not allow you until I take them away. Until I purge them away. I will not allow you because you will spoil my work. You will spoil my work. You will be a hindrance to my work. Haman de Chocho Parile Capano Verenantes is a Boronia. Allow me to purge you so that you will be part of my work. If not, I will put you aside. I will put you aside. Amande Koproshtebane Nimanande Jojo Librania. Allow me to take those things away. If not, I will put you aside. I will replace you. If you fight with me too much, I will replace you. I will replace you if you keep striving with me. I will not allow me to deal with you. I will not allow me to make you part of what I'm doing. To make you part of what I'm doing. A great work in your days. I'm doing a great work in your days. Yeah, you are privileged. You are so privileged. Blessed are you to be part of it. Blessed are you to be part of it. Blessed are you that I call you to be part of it. Relinquish the things of my enemy. Relinquish the things of my enemy. Do not sit on it. Do not sit on it. Do not sit on it. Because you will die on the journey. See you at the Lord.
Amen. You know, God wants to deal with this. You know, nature's tendencies. You know, I look back at myself. You know, as a young girl, I used to be a very anxious person. You know, I'm sure I've shared it many times. I used to be a very anxious person. I did not like feet. I just wonder, why is it that you can't just have everything? Do we have to believe God for money? Believe God for health? Can't we just have it? That was the way I used to. And I used to get anxious if things don't go the way they are. And you know, so for example, imagine that kind of a person. You're now using the faith that works immediately. You say, God, I believe it, and it answers. God will answer those things. But you know that nature will still be there. You know, one of the things God did, I came for it was, you know how to use faith very well. All of a sudden, the faith will not work. You use faith for exam, you not even pass. As in, the faith seems as if it was not working anymore. You know, all the fears I had, I don't want to get married, I'm believing God for house rent, I'm believing God, you know, you just want to, you know, all of those things. I did not like faith at all. But God took me through that path. You know what? Why God, you know, one of the things was not even having those things at the end of the day. But you know, one of the things God did, God dealt with anxiety in my soul. And in fact, for me, it is more that blessing outweighs whatever thing I've believed God for that God had done for me. Anxiety. That you can just be at peace. You can just be at peace. That you don't worry. I can worry the worry of 2,200 today before. So, okay, what if in 2,200, Olubi's children, they now want to go to a school and they don't have, that is the way I used to worry. I can worry the worry of 200 years now. And I remember that it used to be so bad that if I'm in my house, if anything happens, they won't want to tell me. I would be so much worried. Things used to eat me so much that I'll be feeling physical pain in my heart. It's not pain. My heart would be paining me, that I would hold my heart like this. As in, I was so weak-hearted. And so imagine then, I'm not using faith for everything. Oh, God, I want this. God is doing it. God is not helping me. Is he helping me? So, go faith in the daruni, faith in the she. God would not take him through all those purposes to go through all those tough things and believe God, not having those things, and yet be able to have peace in the midst of trouble. Be able to have peace. All those things that I used to fear, God took all those fear away. Is that not a more blessing than to whatever God has given me? So there are times that God looks at us. It's not just that God doesn't want to give certain things. There are things in us that God wants. If it is even for your own, maybe by now, since said it's not yet like by now, I would have been appetensive. If I have continued, even health-wise, I would have. You can't be that way and live long. And live long. You just hear one news like this, and you just have shock, and you just faint. And before you know it, you're already in heaven. And it's the truth. So God had to deal with all of those things by having disappointments, things not working the way I wanted it. I will plan. The reason I'm planning is because of fear. All your plan, nothing will work. You know, you can plan out of fear. They just say, she's a very organized person. Rodney, fear. You know, those are things that motives that people cannot see, that only your maker sees. So God dealt with all of those. So now I'm more, not that I'm 100% perfect, but I know that God has helped me. I can believe God for things. When things come, and I know that I have to believe God. I don't know that my trust and God is faithful. God will do it. And if God does not do it, God will take me through that process. God, I know God wants to work out a salvation. So I cannot trust him. I cannot look at him. Even if God doesn't give me this thing, even if this thing I don't have it, even if this thing looks as if I'm not going to lay hold on it, God has a better plan for me. I know that there is something God is working on. There was a time I used to believe God for one particular door. I was believing God for that thing. And God showed me a glimpse of how he can make me have that thing. And God intentionally made me see that what God was just trying to tell me is that Kole fun mi lati se fun mi. But the center now saw the other part of when you come into those kind of cycles. This small one I'm still breathing to survive. That if you come into this with the way you are now, you'll be totally consumed. Even me, I said, God, don't open the door. I know I don't yet have the stature to handle it. I don't yet have. Some of you, if they give you a wife the way you are now, one, because you have anger issue, you will maltreat her as you are. You will see another girl outside who are fornicating because only lost the bruku. This is that set a son inside you from pornography. What is you? You have an only sister. How do you call it perform? So God will naturally deny you and empty you of those things. He will rather delay you and not give you any sister and empty you of those sisters. It's true. We have to be very sincere. Sincerely, God asks. So sometimes God takes us through some of those denials to empty us, to purge the soul and purify you. So you see a woman, you don't see a woman as a sex object.
Hallelujah.
Some of you, the reason why you want to marry is because you want to have sex. Because you be a sin kekan. Oh, ni vision come in like a kingdom vision. I can't say incorruptible nanny. But how does it apply to your life? You don't know it. It's the truth. You should be telling the truth to yourself. But you're counting age. You're counting age. I'm calling to this sister now. God, I'm calling to church. You're coming on. It's not like that, though. Tell them, but say, no, they work like that, though. You know, they work like that, though. So sometimes God knows you. God knows that you cannot keep a covenant with a woman. God knows that you cannot. God already knows. Oh, my God, I'm going to get polygamist. Oh, need the sister in life. You don't need a sister in your life. You are a polygamist. So God needs to first of all put that in. Else you will marry. But because you are in a constrained environment, you'll be comparing your wife with other people. You'll be coveting other people's wives. You'll not be satisfied. You always have something. The way she dresses. And it's true, maybe the sister is not dressing well. That's what all of us will be seeing. But deep down, oh my, come on, bear. Now, even if our pastor cannot see, to take the Holy Ghost to move pastor during preaching to eat the place. He didn't think of dishonesty in the soul.
Enough, Thomas. Enough. 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 Enough.
should die to those things. Pastor Frank.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Emoveranatila Hashiri Venabolova crush the Gamonia. Enjupali Sepanto Veralia Stepania. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Moho Savanahate. Sokapurono Mahate. And the Sephrali Manahate. Walk. As you keep indulging in it, the work is going on in you. That habit is a work is happening in you. Do not say, oh, I will ask for forgiveness and I will be forgiven. But a work is done in you. A work is done in you against your future. A work is wrought in you against your future. Helimana kapori vena master verania. That habit, a work is happening. A pony, allow me to break it. Allow me to break it. Because a work is being done. A work is being done. That will fight you ahead. A work is being done. That will be used by spirit to fight you ahead. So I say, stop it. Stop it now. Stop it now. Receive grace to put an end to it. Do not excuse yourself. Do not excuse yourself and keep indulging in it, because a work is happening. A work is being put in you against your future. As my word is coming, there is a grace for you to come out of that habit. Come out of it. Come out of it. Come out of it. And I will launch you into a process that will unwind the work that is already in you. I will launch you into a process that will remove that work that is already in you. But do not begin to compile and pile up work again. Don't pile up that work again. Stop the habit and I will unwind the work. I will unwind the work. I will lead you by my spirit and I will unwind that work. I will unwind that work. I will put you in process. I will put you under subjective leading. And I will unwind the work. I will remove the work. I will remove the work. Watch out. A sign that I have done a lot is that which you desire passionately, you will have no desire for it anymore. You will have no desire for it anymore. I will even ask you that it is time, and you will say to me, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Because you will know. You will know. You will know. You will know. You will come to realize that it's not just you that has been desiring it all the way. That is a work in you that want to destroy you. Allow me to finish that work. And now when I'm through with that work, that excessive desire, that excessive desire, that passionate lust, that burning in you for a face you are not prepared of, you will fizzle away, will fizzle away. And I will tell you it is time. And you will beg me, you will give me some time to get ready. Because actually, I prepared you. See you the Lord.
Amen. So there are things that God... So when during the waiting time for the expression of the things that God has promised us, there are many things that God wants to deal with. So it's not just the end product. You know, God also wants to do a work, you know, with us. And we must cooperate with that work. So for example, you're a woman that is not tolerant, that is not accommodating. You cannot forbear. And you know, maybe the person you want to marry, God already, that family, God wants to use that man as the person that will save his family. But you're not, and no, sometimes the way God works, maybe that person, that guy, the way God has ordained is that through that guy, all his family members will be saved. And it will be by coming to live in your house. You are stingy. You are not accommodating. You are a nagger. No, he says, what is a nagger? You are a nagger. You nag at everything. You are not tolerant. You know that work cannot be done. Ah, no, yes, Pastor Ajumati. You know, I used to say, Then when I used to look at her, when I was in preclinicals, I would look at her, that, what kind of woman is this? All our husband's siblings, all of them, they grew up in a house, and it was not a duplex. It was a three-bedroom house. All our husband's siblings, the people, not only siblings, so the people working in their shop, they grew, gende, young adults, all of them, they grew up in a house. They grew up, they were in that church, they grew up spiritually, they grew up physically in that house. You think it was easy? Brethren, it's easy. In-laws. I know that thing was not just only salvation for her. God had plans for all of her husband's siblings. So imagine if she was a woman that cannot accommodate the things that God wants to. So you don't know that when God was thinking about the person Pastor Timothy we marry, you think they're not thinking of a wood, they're not thinking about all those people. So you know, that's like, you're saying, that's the person I like. You think it's about you? You think it's the top of it, where you don't think about my, you think it's about me. That's the person I like, that's my choice. I'll be jail. You don't even know what is connected. What is about that relationship? Yeah. You don't even know. You think it's about you. You are okay, right?
Yes,
you are small, and it has nothing to do about you. Marriage has not, sincerely, you must make up a marriage, has nothing so ever to do about you. It is all about God, if you allow Him.
Yes.
You don't know how far God can use your union to touch lives, to touch generations, to change people, to mold lives, to mold nations. You don't even know. And it's just all about you. My kitchen, my house, my food, my clinic. It is more than that. It is more, what did I say? It is more than that. So then I will look at her. I will look at all those people and I will say, is everything rosy? It's not as if everything was rosy. But I just look at it, when God was thinking of a woman for that man, I'm sure you would have searched which woman we allow, because I have purposes for all these people tied to Him. Which woman we allow this purpose to fulfill? They won't look for somebody that is stingy, that cannot forbear, that cannot even tolerate people. They cannot even wear your slippers. Somebody cannot touch your thing. Don't touch my thing. Oh, that's where I rent my thing. This is where my toothpaste, you press it from under. And that can cause a fight. They will not. So when you are someone that cannot forbear, so when I say forbear, be tolerant, you don't even know how many lives. It's not so even our change. I've told myself, even my change many times, it's not even about you. It's about things that God wants to do. It's to make my life useful to God.
Yes.
So when God says change, be accommodating. Love the brethren. Be clinical. Be peaceful. Be clinical. Don't be angry. It is not even about you. It is God wanting to make your life what useful in His hands. Because some of those things will not allow your life to be useful for higher purposes in God. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
So let's read James chapter 1. Let's go to verse 4 before we go to this way. I'm not going. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and what? Complete, lacking what? Nothing. Verse 5, if any of you, so it is in the context of patience, of our trial of faith, of waiting patiently for God's promises to find the expression. I say, if any of you now lacks wisdom pertaining to this thing, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What is this wisdom? It is the wisdom to live in the waiting time. Why did I say it is the wisdom to live in that waiting time? Because it is usually a turbulent time. It's a time of trial, but the end result will surely come. But there's a wisdom to live. You know, just like we read in Isaiah 54, there was something they were telling that woman to do, enlarge your tent. So there are things that God that are specific for you, that are wisdom for you in your waiting time, that God wants you to learn, that God wants you to implement. So that is what, so this wisdom is to survive that season. So in that season when you're waiting, not a season to be hopelessly idle. It's a season that to be worrying. It's a season to turn your worry into prayer. You know, he said, let him ask. He's to ask God for wisdom. That during this period, what are the things you want me to do? What are the things you want me to learn? Give me grace to cooperate with the process. It's a season of also dealing without. It's a season of knowing that all things work together for good. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I'll close. And that is one thing you must have. You see, all the people in Hebrews 11, not all of them received the end product. But one thing, they received a good report. Yes, so there are times that you might, yes, faith, we have works, we wait patiently. But one thing you must know, you won't be able to get that. We need to go into faith and love. One thing you must know about faith is that your love must be stronger than faith, than the exploits of faith. So that even if things doesn't go the way you want, you will not be offended in God.
Amen.
So love must produce that faith. So you say, God, you know, just like that, it was it Hannah, when she was crying, the other said, am I not worth more to you than 10 children? God must be worth more to you than that thing you are believing God for. So you must have this knowledge that we know that what all things work together for good to those who do what? Love God. To those who are what? Called according to his purpose. May the Lord strengthen and help us in Jesus' name.
Can we pray? Let's stand to our feet and let's just pray. This is a good time to pray. Can you just present yourself to the Lord? Present your heart. The Lord will cause your heart to yield to God. Speak to that heart to begin to yield to the Lord. In this season, I receive grace to align with the standards of God's word. Pray. If you are falling short in one area, ask the Lord to help your heart. That my heart will yield to the training of faith. My heart will yield to the training of righteousness. I receive grace to submit to the workings of the Spirit. I receive grace to yield, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and the working of change in my soul. Lord, I receive grace to operate by the tenets of faith, the character of faith, the mannerism of faith, the discipline of faith. Lord, I receive grace, Lord God. Oh, I receive grace, Lord God. Pray that your heart will agree with the Lord. Your heart will agree with the standards of truth. Ask the Lord to rope your heart with grace, with sufficient grace. Ask the Lord to give you grace. Lord, give me grace. I receive grace. I receive grace. Grace in the name of Jesus. 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 Sufficient grace. Come begin to thank the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for inspiring us, Lord. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And the people said amen. Let's have a seat. Can we appreciate mommy for blessing us this morning? That was too powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mommy is very dangerous. Hallelujah. Very dangerous. I mean. That one was very powerful. I liked particularly how she mixed the wine. And that is what we have entered into that wisdom, where we can mix wine well. It's apostolic. It's apostolic. We must learn to, that's how we can feed the whole church. And everybody will be fed at all different levels. So inside is, there is meat, there is milk. You can partake of the milk of the word there. You can partake of the meat dimension of the word in the same teaching. So in that teaching of faith, there is milk. Faith there. There's also faith to save the soul. So I know that even in milk faith, there's also training. There's certain level of consecration in milk. You know, most of the excesses that came, Satan also brought excesses through the faith movement, where people began to use faith just to claim they were not walking. Meanwhile, the fathers of faith that taught faith. More as a practice for living, not just as a tool for getting. So because many now you majored on the getting aspect of faith, they were not being changed. Because faith is a tool for transformation. Amen. What did I say faith is? Even at milk level, if you see somebody that used faith well at milk level, you see someone that becomes a child of the Holy Ghost. Spiritual people, they use faith. They culture their soul by believing the word. So one of the things that, you know, mommy taught us this morning are the characters of faith. They are the character, the mannerism of faith. Faith and works. Faith with patience. This is that patience aspect in particular. Because you cannot handle life without faith and patience. Scripture says that, I think in Hebrews, it was Hebrews 6, it says, men who through faith and patience, you know, promises. So you don't come into any promise of life, without the characteristics of patience. So, you know, I like that thing. The walking of patience itself is salvation. Yes, sir. And at least to a measure, I understand this. There are things now that I thank God for subjecting me to all those trainings. Because if the Lord had allowed you to do it your way, you will have messed up greatly. And I appreciated how mommy used it to, she applied it to decision making. Issues of decision making. Because I know most of us are at that stage. You know? And at times, I know that at times when you listen to me, it's as if I don't want you to marry. I love you. I don't want you to go and box yourself in marriage. Amen. So it's just for you to be well prepared and equipped. I think I was still trying to tell my wife, I said that, see, for instance, a young man that wants to marry, he must have some level of word that has become life so that he can love a woman. If not, you'll be frustrated. Because it's not what you see in courtship you will get. It's just the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You see that fine girl that you were pushing up and down? She's not really fine. She make a lie to you. Go fine, sir. It is when you begin to live with that you now know. This one that you see, the film trick lady. At times you see her, you can't even remember. You don't want to call her Oni or whatever. You want to call her Bitters. That is how you feel. Yes. Oh, you know, because you don't feel like all the anything. Like this one, like way Koro, sir. Okay, this one, Bitters. So, you know, that process of waiting is just for you to incubate. At times, it's not exactly, there's no formula attached to it. You know, if you start early, for instance, you know, God can work it out. By the time you're 20, 25, 26, you can marry, depending on the level of life that you have. I tell some of the young men, I said, I married at 28. You know, was it one of the brothers that said, I said, how old are you? I said, I married at 28. So, but if you say, daddy married at 28, daddy at 28 is not your own 35. It's not a boast. Me at 20, it was not some of you at 38, self. I'm just realizing that. Because there were things that were done already. So it was, there was no certain, nobody ever came to Laja in my home. Not once. I said, we have problem. We're beating ourselves. Somebody had to come out Laja. You know what I'm talking about? You know, there's a level of work. I remember those times, even me and my wife, you know, I looked at my wife today and I was appreciating her. You know, because yesterday we came late, we're tired, you know, she slept very late. In fact, I slept before her. And then I woke up earlier, I felt that she needed to rest, knowing fully she would take Bible study. And immediately she woke up, she prayed. And then this message is this morning they gave her. You know, you don't have some of those connections if you don't have dealing with God. So I remember now one of the major things God taught us, you know, before we got married, was this place of personal relationship with the Lord. So in those times when we even quarreled, in those early times in marriage, I just knew that the quarrel will vanish away. Why? Anytime my wife prays, God will speak to her. Imagine if God cannot reach you. I just know that. So there were things that we just said to, based on personal dealing with God, certain things fizzled away. But if God cannot reach you, you are in problem. Yes, and some people, God cannot reach them easily. They will need daddy to come and bring apostolic anointing. You know what I'm saying? You know, when daddy comes, he brings angel. Michael, you need that kind of environment to move that soul. You need that kind of thing to move that kind of soul. Uh-huh. So I just found out that we should just allow the Lord to work in us. Can we say amen? One of the things I learned today is that all your denials are for your good. A time will come when you thank God for your denial, for delaying you. What she has said is true. You know, I just looked at it that if the Lord had allowed us to do ministry, I'm not lying, and I wonder. But when we were teaching the apostolic in campus, honestly, what we had is higher than all these guys calling themselves apostles today. I lie it not. Yes. What we were teaching at age 21, 19 to 21, was higher than all of this. We will have called ourselves apostles. Yeah. It's just the truth. I was still telling my wife today, why is Bishop calling himself a prophet? Oedipus has never called himself an apostle. He will not call himself. He say, I'm a prophet of faith. He knows what it is. He knows the apostolic office. He's a sincere man. I said, we will have done that. So, if God delays you from doing ministry, because some people, they also have lust for ministry. You just go and do ministry. I'm just thinking about a guy today that is an apostle that I know. And I'm looking at him because I know him very well. I know he's not an apostle. I know. This one is not anything. Me, I know him. Share you understand? He ran away from a cycle of process. All the people that were supposed to be, work on him, he fought them. He started ministry prematurely. Now he's an apostle. There's a kind of ministry, you see. You know that in the Father's house, there are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. Ike, toughen feet, the bingo. Oyatos, Ike, not a feet, the president. Ike, no, ni go go on, sir. There are certain kind of ministry you cannot do. When you want to feed dog, there's a kind of plate you use. Do you use special plates to feed a dog? So ministry too is like that. Some people will go ahead to do some kind of ministry. It will be lesser than what God originally planned for them if they had waited and allow God to be thorough with them. Same thing with relationship. You know, a decision-making process can reduce your level of service to God. It's the truth. We need to say things like this. If you are not supposed to, when you are supposed to wait for a brother that God knows that you are both compatible to carry out a high level of purpose, and you go ahead and marry a brother of comfort, that in itself, God will mold you to a lesser purpose. You just naturally reduce yourself because you cannot function what God saw in mind. Same thing for ministry, same thing for marriage, same thing for every aspect of life, business and career. People shortchange themselves, because they are not willing to allow the workings of God to be complete in them. You know, at times you might look at it that, you know, at times all this is not about age. You can be 40 and you're not ready. Yes, you can be 40 and you're not ready for a purpose. Was it concerning Bishop Okay? Yes, Bishop Wale Okay. That when he became 60, he went to meet, when he was 59, he went to meet Daddy Adeboye. I heard this. It was Daddy Adeboye that was giving, that prayed for me. Daddy Adeboye said, how old are you? He said, you are 59. Come back when you are 60. You know, Baba Adeboye is Bishop Okay's spiritual father. He said, come back when you are 60. Then he came back when he was 60 and he prayed. He says, now you are ready to enter into ministry. That's what he prayed. He says, now, my son, okay, you are now ready to enter your ministry. After many years. So it means that there is a ministry that Bishop Okay he's almost 70 now. So you say so people at times they will shorten themselves. Me, I prefer now. This is it. You can have a different opinion. This is my opinion. I prefer to wait and I have 3.5 years of ministry that will have long-lasting impact on the earth than be running around calling myself an apostle, deceiving myself. I cannot teach. I can't stay on epistles for years. I am calling myself an apostle. Only teach epistle. Marine spirits. Apostle of New Testament teaching marine spirits. Mami water spirits. This is the truth. We need to tell ourselves the truth. So it's better to wait. Tell your neighbor, say it's better to wait. For God to be through with you. And let God to be thorough. It's good to be thorough. And that's what when Pastor Friday was interpreting tongues. And truly, anytime you allow the Lord, you always feel that sense that you are not worthy. And anytime you feel a sense you are not worthy, that's exactly when the Lord now says you are ready. Eh? Because the God's grace can be there for you. Eh? So I remember, even before, I used to think, because I've been ministering since I was a teenager. So I grew up with ministry. So, but when the Lord was ready, the Lord made us make mistake and shut ministry down. God shut ministry down. And I forgot about ministry. Actually, I died to ministry. I don't think I ever thought of one day that I'll be holding mic again. The thing died. Actually, now eventually, it's not loving business. I love business. I love doing business. By the time the Lord was now ready to call, it became a problem. I was running up and down. Eh? I was running up and down. Thank God for daddy. So, at the time I ran, and I was so afraid of ministry and the pulpit. And I went to meet daddy. I asked him, I said, why am I afraid? I said, I'm afraid. Daddy says, you are ready. I said, I'm afraid. I didn't used to be afraid before. Tibagba Mekim. I know what to say. Then I became afraid. I'll be afraid. Do you know what I want to tell you the truth? I lied not. Up to now, I'm still what? Afraid. I'm still afraid of the pulpit. So it's good for God to be thorough with you. I met some young guys now. You know, in UI has many apostles. Too much. I hear that some of them come here once in a while. You know, and they observe. If you are here, I beg you. Don't do ministry that will kill you before your time. So it's good to wait. So through faith, hands and ingredients of patience and thoroughness. And it's going to touch every aspect of your life. This thing has its attitude in business. It has an attitude in marriage. It has an attitude in every aspect of your life. You must allow God's processes to be completed in you. And the Lord will help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.